we want to learn how to rest. It's not good for us to work, work, work. We need to have a time of rest and refreshing, replenishing our spirit, our soul. And, you know, when there's a big union job, the building inspector has rule over it, basically. And he has tickets, citations he can write, and he can give you fines. One of his tickets that he can write is called a stop work order. If he comes to the job and finds something that's wrong, he can write a ticket that says stop work order and give it to the supervisor or the business owner or the contractor and say, this is it, this job is shut down until this problem gets resolved. Now, God performed the biggest construction job ever. There will never be another one bigger than this. And his construction job was making creation, all of it, all of the universe, everything we can see and all that we can't see. He made it all, and he sustains it all. And so God not only showed us by his example on work and rest, the principle there, but he also gave us a stop work order. If we take a look at Exodus chapter 20, and this is part of the Ten Commandments, you remember those? Let me read that to you. It says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work. You, nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your male servant, nor your female servant, nor your cattle, nor your stranger who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth and the sea and all that is in them and rested in the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. The Lord gave us a stop work order. It's written in the Bible. It's in print. And we know that Jesus didn't come to abolish the law. He came to fulfill the law. That doesn't give us liberty to disobey the law. It gives us the power of the Holy Spirit to obey the law in our lives. So I need to tell you that I've lost thousands of dollars of money because I made a decision to obey the Lord. I can remember one time between services, my phone rang in the car, and I answered it. It was one of my good customers. And he had a water heater that broke, and he wanted me to come out on Sunday to take care of it. And I explained to him that, well, I'm at church now, and Sunday is my Sabbath. That's the day that I rest. And he didn't want any part of that, and he hired somebody else. And I haven't heard back from him since. Now, I know that was at least a $2,000 job. But the reason why I'm telling you that is not to boast, but to tell you that I'm fine with it. Because I made a decision that I was going to obey the Lord and trust him for my income. It reminds me back years ago when I started going to AA. And then the meeting was at 7:30 to 8:30. And it's like I went for a few days and realized that there was the whole thing here, like Carol and I were talking about, this whole under the surface stuff. This all gets dealt with there. And I looked at that mountain and I said, am I going to deal with that? Or am I going to go to work at 7 a.m. like I always do and allow my fear of financial insecurity rule over me and forego the work that God I know has put before me? He wanted me to get straightened out. I had some issues. My pendulum was off. And God wanted me sorted out. And he gave me a place to go so that I could sort that out. So I made a decision early on, and at that first week, and I said, I'm putting you first, Lord. I'm going to go to that meeting every day, and I'm going to start work at 9 o'clock. 9 o'clock, I never did that in my life. I was always on the job at 7, working. And I used to work nights and weekends and stuff. Didn't matter. Well, there was work, I was on it. But God began to shape me and begin to show me that plumb line on where and how I should determine what I'm going to do. And the plumb line is right here. It's in the stop work order. And so I was full of stress, all of those symptoms that you see, I had probably 100 more of them. And God began sorting me out. But, you know, it doesn't happen overnight. It can. God can do a miracle in anybody at any time. But my experience is it's something that we have to work out with fear and trembling. A short verse that we don't want to look at because that's work. It's like weeding. We have to weed. And so I made a decision I was going to stick with the meetings and put my work second. And, you know, I'll tell you what happened. Looking back at it, the customers that didn't care about me, the customers that were just driven by money, they were had no concern for people, and they would basically mistreat you. Those customers disappeared. Because, you know, this customer would call and say, well, I want you there at, you know, 7 o'clock in the morning, and I would say, I'm sorry, I can't get there till 9. Some of them said, no, I'll get someone else. And I let it go. But you know, most of them said, well, 9 o'clock's fine. Or, can you come tomorrow at 9? So God sorted this thing out for me, and he got rid of all of the stuff that was giving me all that stress. I live a fairly stress-free life now. Because I'm not focused on the money or the fear of financial security anymore. I'm focused on the Lord and what he wants me to do. And I know one of the things he wants me to do is live in peace. If Jesus is the Prince of Peace, he came to live in our lives to bring us that peace that lives within us. So I can't come here on Sunday and, you know, whoop-de-doo, I'm saved, let's have a shindig, and then go out all week and be a crazy person because I'm so full of stress. There's something wrong. So I'm extremely thankful now. There's a spiritual principle of work and rest. So God, we know that God wants us to work, and we know that God wants us to rest, and he wants us to bring it in balance. There's a barometer. Reuben's a pilot, so he knows, I don't know, but he knows there's all kinds of gauges and dials all over his dashboard. All kinds. Lots of them. And these all tell him something. And he has to look at these dials and gauges constantly to make sure everything is operating properly. And when something changes, he needs to deal with it and make a correction so he doesn't have a problem. Well, you know, God gives us things like that too. Spiritually speaking, there's an acronym called HALT. Has anybody heard it before? HALT. Hungry, angry, lonely, and tired. So I have to monitor myself. I'm responsible. I have to monitor myself. So if I like skip breakfast because I, you know, I had a big job and I got to get out the door at 7, I skip breakfast and I'm busy in the job, I forget lunch, just go. No. I need to look at that myself and say, no, the job can wait for half an hour. I can take care of myself. It's okay to take care of myself. So I want to be careful. Unless you're fasting for the Lord and by the power of the Holy Spirit, eat, and we can focus on what we eat. You know, if I get a donut and a coffee for breakfast, it's not cool. That's not helpful to me. That actually contributes to my problems. But if I, you know, and one of the things that I've learned is I have to start tweaking myself. One of the habits that I've gotten into is I make myself juice every morning. I get the fresh fruits and I chop them up and I blend them up, put my vitamins in it, and I have that every day. Because one of my issues was I never ate in the morning. And then 10 o'clock I'm starving, and then I just eat like a horse until I go to bed. Well, what's the point of that? That's unbalanced. It's not being true to that plumb line. So I don't want to get too hungry. And then angry. Well, you know what? Sometimes there are people that are toxic. Sometimes I know people in my life that are just nuts. They are. Not that I'm sane. But sometimes, you know, people are just, I don't know if you've ever experienced being near somebody and you could just feel them spinning. You can feel the spiritual turmoil inside of them. It's like, you know what? I need to back off a little bit. So there are people sometimes that overwhelm us, or sometimes that they get us angry. Situations can get us angry. So I have to look at my gauges and say, how's my anger level doing? Am I ready to blow my top? If I'm ready to blow my top, then I better back off. And it's okay to step back, step out of fellowship. Recede, go find some quiet time like Jesus did often and pray. Spend some time with the Lord. You know, scripture in Ephesians tells us, be angry but do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger. So what do I get out of that? It's okay to be angry, but but it's not okay to act out improperly. And by the end of the day, give it to the Lord. Get rid of it. Don't go to sleep with it. Get rid of it. So simple instructions, but we have to begin to practice these things because, you know, from the letter busy, seems like many of us have got caught into that spinning cycle. And then there's lonely. Well, you know, it's easy to get lonely. And I don't know if anybody here has experienced it, but you can be lonely in a crowd of 50,000 people. I've been places where there's thousands of people around me, but I was really felt lonely. Wasn't with anybody that was like close to me. So loneliness can be a terrible distraction against our walk. And, you know, getting married is not a solution to loneliness. If you get married because you're lonely, let me tell you something, you're getting married for the wrong reason. And it won't work. Because no person can fix our internal issues except the person of Jesus Christ. So we need to grow through that loneliness with the Lord. And after we grow through that with the Lord, then we're becoming ready to be a proper spouse for someone else. So we don't want to get too lonely and then tired. Well, you know, there are a lot of accidents that happen when people get tired. Car accidents. I can't tell you how many times my eyes would close when I was driving throughout my life. And thank God I just woke up before, hit something. But many people don't. Work accidents. And oftentimes it results in death. When we're tired, we lose the sharpness that we have to function. So if we look at all of these things, the National Sleep Foundation says that we need 7 to 9 hours of sleep as adults. That's what their studies say. So if we neglect these HALT issues, we should expect the symptoms that we looked at earlier. So it all comes down to our choice. Now, a couple of scriptures I want to point out to you. In Matthew chapter 11, starts in verse 28. Jesus says, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart. And you will find rest for your souls. My yoke is easy and my burden is light." What's Jesus saying there? So many of us live in this stress and this anxiety of life and the busyness of life. What Jesus is saying there is, don't keep trying to live life on your own strength. Come to him. Give him all of your issues and problems and concerns and hopes and desires of life. And let him carry all of that stuff. That's where the problem comes in. When I think I'm on my own and I have to do everything on my own because God's really not doing anything here, I have to do it, that's when I start sinking. So keeping myself Christ-centered is the critical point of this walk as a Christian. And quite honestly, I can't do it at home alone. I have to be involved in the fellowship of the saints for me to stay sharp and Christ-centered on a regular basis. Then if we look at Psalm 46:10, the word says, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge." Has anybody here practiced being still? Good, Julie. I can remember getting some instruction from a counselor about practicing being still. So I said, okay. I went home and I sat on my lazy boy. No TV, no radio, no books, no newspapers, no food, no company, nothing. Quiet. Nothing. And I sat down on the lazy boy to practice being still. I lasted 30 seconds. I couldn't do it. I started thinking about everything I had to do and where I had to go, and anxiety started spinning inside of me. I had to get up. So The next day I said, all right, I'll try it again. And the next day I lasted about a minute. And then the next day was about 2 minutes. And then it was 5 minutes. And now, quite honestly, I could be happy sitting on my Lazy Boy all day long, just in the quiet. And one of my reliefs is that, God, thank you for bringing me through that turmoil into the inner man where you live, that I can dwell in that peace. I can dwell in the refuge of the Lord God Almighty. And so that is really irrelevant to the outer circumstances in our life. There's a place called the Believer's Rest, and this is, again, what I'm talking about. This is in Hebrews chapter 4. This is the promise of the rest, and I want to read this to you because I think it's very important. It says, therefore, since a promise remains of entering his rest, let us fear lest any of you seem to have come short of it. For indeed the gospel was preached to us all, Indeed the gospel was preached to us as well as to them. And I believe he's referring to the Jews. But the word which came, which they heard, did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. For we who have believed do enter that rest. As he said, so I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Although the works were finished from the foundation of the world, for he has spoken in a certain place of the seventh day in this way. And God rested on the seventh day from his works. And again, in this place, they shall not enter my rest. Since therefore it remains that some must enter it, and those to whom it was first preached did not enter because of disobedience. Again, he designates a certain day, saying in David, today, after such a long time as it has been said, today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. For if Joshua had given them rest, then he would not afterward have spoken of another day. There remains, therefore, a rest for the people of God. For he who has entered his rest has himself also ceased from his works as God did from his. So this ties it in that there's a place called the believer's rest. It's those who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ can enter into the rest that Christ has given us by his death and resurrection on the cross. We don't have to fight this fight and do all of this life on our own strength anymore. We can hide in that secret place. And if we look at the story about Mary and Martha, and we see that the story goes that Martha was busy. Let me read it. It says, now as it happened, they entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she approached him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore tell her to help me. And Jesus answered, Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part, which will not be taken away from her. Jesus is confirming that Mary found that place of rest at the feet of Jesus, in the presence of God, in the secret place that we have today as believers, because the Spirit of God, Jesus Christ, lives inside of us. Jesus said, the kingdom of heaven is within you. One of the attributes of the kingdom of heaven is peace, security. So if that's true, and see, this is where we got to come below the surface, because the surface is our exterior. It's the outer part of the cup that Jesus spoke about with the Pharisees. Jesus wants us living in that secret place, and what's in between is our stuff. The issues, it's like an iceberg. You know, the iceberg that sunk to Titanic, It wasn't the part above the waterline that sank it. That's only one-third the portion of an iceberg. The two-thirds of an iceberg is the portion underwater. That's what sunk the Titanic. And similar to us, you can look at me from the outside and make your observations, but it's the inside that's the problem or the solution. And so journeying through that stuff is critical. So we need to work, but not overwork. And at our expense of physical, mental, emotional, relational, spiritual well-being. And we need to find what Mary found. What was promised and given to us in Christ. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this word. And I pray, Lord, that it went onto rich soil. That those who hear would receive and come into that place of rest that you've given to us. I thank you, Lord God, that your spirit, when we invite you in to live inside of us, gives us everything we need and everything we want. And so, Father, I thank you for this time and place and, Lord, for these people, and ask you to just cause your rest to become part of our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.